Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Observing the boldness of Peter and John, and perceiving them to be uneducated, ordinary men, the leaders, elders, and scribes were amazed, and they recognized them as the companions of Jesus. Then, when they saw the man who had been cured standing there with them, they could say nothing in reply. So they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, and conferred with one another, saying, "What are we to do with these men? Everyone living in Jerusalem knows what a remarkable sign was done through them, and we cannot deny it. But so that it might not spread any further among the people, let us give them a stern warning, never again to speak to anyone in this name." So they called them back and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John, however, said to them in reply, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them further, they released them, finding no way to punish them, on account of the people who were all praising God for what had happened. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior, the joyful shout of victory in the tents of the just. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has struck with power. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Though the Lord has indeed chastised me, yet he has not delivered me to death. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. Open to me the gates of justice. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The just shall enter it. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for you have answered me and have been my Savior. I will give you thanks, for you have answered me. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told his companions who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them walking along on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but they did not believe them either. But later, as the 11 were at table, he appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. He said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So if you saw in the flesh Jesus risen from the dead, standing before you talking to you, letting you touch him and seeing him eat some food. And then he told you, go proclaim this good news to the world. Tell everyone that I died for them and I rose from the dead. And then some of the very people who had condemned him to death told you to shut up. What would you do? Would you feel compelled to speak anyway? Would you listen to those religious leaders who had crucified Jesus? Or would you listen to the crucified one who was raised from the dead? This is the situation that Peter and John were in. They saw him risen from the dead. They ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. They saw the glorified wounds in his hands, in his feet, in his side. They received from him the direct command, proclaim the gospel to every creature. Tell people about my name, which is the only name given by which they can be saved. Announce to them this good news, that their sins are canceled, that their death is overcome, that they have full access to God. Go tell them. And then they were called back and ordered by the religious leaders of that day, deceived as they were, ordered not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And basically, their reply was, go take a hike. Peter and John said, you heard it. We will obey God rather than men. When the two are in conflict, when the two are not in conflict, legitimate authority is to be followed, whether civic law or church law. But when there's a conflict, as our founding fathers here in America said, and as these apostles say in this passage today, God's law takes prominence. He's the only one to whom we can promise absolute obedience. Everybody else, any other authority on earth, we can say we will obey, but it's always on the condition that they never tell us to do something contrary to the will of God, the law of God, or our conscience. We cannot betray our own conscience. Our own conscience is our own mind telling us what is right and what is wrong, not inventing what is right and what is wrong, but learning it from the proper sources of the moral law. Peter and John saw Jesus right in front of them. They knew he was risen from the dead. So nothing's going to stop them from announcing it to the whole world. And the religious leaders saw that the people were believing them, and so they could not stop them. And of course have not stopped them to this day, although some misguided and sinful religious leaders still try. You see, today, it's not that they say don't preach or teach in the name of Jesus, but some misguided religious leaders try to say, oh, don't say anything that will get people upset, or don't be divisive, or some of them say to me, oh, don't be too aggressive on abortion. I tell them to go take a hike, too. Soon as abortion stops being aggressive on the little babies, then you come back and talk to me about not being so aggressive about abortion. But as long as it's continuing, as long as it's ripping the arms and legs off of babies, tearing out their hearts and crushing their skulls, don't you dare try to say a single word to me about toning down my message about pro-life, nor should they say a single word to you. I don't care who it is. So in the Gospel of Life, St. John Paul II addresses this too. He quotes from the Acts of the Apostles the firm determination of those apostles to obey God rather than men. But let me read for you from paragraph 73 of this great encyclical, The Gospel of Life. And John Paul II gave a couple of other examples, or gave one of the primary examples from the Old Testament about obeying God rather than men. And this needs to inspire us in this Easter season, because one of the most important words in the readings that we heard today was the third word, boldness. We read in that first reading, observing the boldness of Peter and John, these leaders were amazed. The boldness comes from the fact that you and I have encountered the risen Lord. They encountered him in the flesh right there in the room. We encounter him too by faith and baptism, by our daily life of prayer and virtue. We encounter him. We celebrate the risen Lord. We celebrate Easter. We're not just looking in the past and remembering something. We're participating in it now. We're connecting with the risen Lord today. So paragraph 73 of Evangelium Vitae, the Gospel of Life, says, abortion and euthanasia are thus crimes which no human law can claim to legitimize. There is no obligation in conscience to obey such laws. Instead, there is a grave and clear obligation to oppose them by conscientious objection. From the very beginnings of the Church, the apostolic preaching reminded Christians of their duty to obey legitimately constituted public authorities, Romans 13, 1 Peter 2. But at the same time, it firmly warned that, quote, we must obey God rather than men, Acts chapter 5. In the Old Testament, precisely in regard to threats against life, we find a significant example of resistance to the unjust command of those in authority. After Pharaoh ordered the killing of all newborn males, the Hebrew midwives refused. And then he quotes from Exodus chapter 1, they did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. But the ultimate reason for their action should be noted. From the same passage, it says, the midwives feared God. It is precisely from obedience to God, to whom alone is due that fear, which is acknowledgement of his absolute sovereignty, that the strength and the courage to resist unjust human laws are born. It is the strength and the courage of those prepared even to be imprisoned or put to the sword in the certainty that this is what makes for the endurance and faith of the saints. That phrase coming from Revelation chapter 13. Notice what the Pope is saying, exactly what I just said to you in other words, that only to God can we give absolute obedience. To every other authority, it's conditional obedience. Every day in our world today, 11 people give their lives because of their faith, resisting unjust orders like these apostles got about preaching in the name of Jesus. This is an age of martyrdom. President Donald Trump took note of this, together with then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and they convened the first ever Ministerial for Religious Freedom at the United Nations. There were a couple of them. And the president at that time gave a stirring speech to the United Nations about religious freedom, saying what a tragedy it is that people around the world have to die because they want to follow God in the ways of Jesus or the ways of whatever faith they hold. And the president gave both funding and also directives and norms and even training to United States citizens working in other countries to be sensitive, to be aware, to be vigilant about infringements on religious freedom in those countries and to report them back to the U.S. government so that we can make sure that in our dealings with other nations, we insist that the religious freedom and conscience of Christians and those of other faiths be respected and protected. And then here in the United States, we are fighting against the Democrat Party because they don't believe anymore in religious freedom the way that we believe in it. They think religious freedom is discrimination. They think that unless we hide in silence and bend over backwards to accommodate every other religious belief and not offend, and God forbid, not try to apply our beliefs in practice in the day-to-day life in the world, that unless we do that, we're being discriminatory against those who don't believe like we do. And that's a bunch of nonsense. Likewise, it's nonsense when authorities, whether of the government or even of the church, try to tell us not to be political. Oh, keep quiet. Keep out of the political realm. I've been told that. Many of you have been told that. Many of my brother priests have been told to shut up when it comes to talking about politics. I'm sorry. We will obey God rather than men. You can come and cut out our tongues, chop off our heads, remove our hands. You will do that before you will get us to keep quiet. When the matters of politics intersect with the fundamental rights of human beings, the church says this in the Catechism and in the Code of Canon Law. When it comes to matters of fundamental human rights or the freedom of the church and the salvation of souls, we must speak up even in matters relating to politics. Otherwise, how are we giving witness to the gospel? How are we defending the truth? How are we defending life? How are we obeying God who commands us to do these things? We're not. And it doesn't matter if the prohibition on our conscience, which causes us to rise up vigorously, causes us to rise up and defend life and promote justice and preach the gospel. It doesn't matter if the person trying to squelch that is trying to do so in the name of the state or of the church. It doesn't matter. We don't follow a command that tells us to violate the command of God. So, brothers and sisters, rejoice. You are free. I am free. We are to proclaim Jesus. We are to proclaim life. We are to proclaim freedom. We are to proclaim it. We've got to make sure that what we're proclaiming is exactly what the Word of God requires. But never let anyone intimidate you about proclaiming it, whether it's by about having a conversation with somebody or putting a letter to the editor or a post to social media or a call to your government officials or anything else for that matter. Observing the boldness of Peter and John, they were amazed. Let people see your boldness. Let people see our boldness. Because always and everywhere, we will obey God rather than men. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.